sir. What's your name, sir?
My name is Stephen Raimondo, DOC number 231704.
Hold on one moment. I see who's going to conduct your hearing. Okay, the Honorable Mr. Neal will be conducting your hearing, sir, so just hold on.
Yes, sir.
Okay, sir, do you hear me all right?
What, sir?
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, there's an echo, but yes, I can hear you.
All right, would you please state your name and ABC number for the record?
Stephen Raimondo, or Stephen Michael Raimondo, DOC number 231704.
All right, you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. I'm going to introduce the board members that are present. The Honorable Michael Johnson, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who is our board chairman, the Honorable Lincoln Onuf, and the Honorable Gail Rittenhouse. Also, we have Mr. Westby from the Department of Corrections, and he also represents the parole office. Prior to this hearing, you received and signed a notification form advising you of this board hearing. You remember that form, sir?
Yes, sir. I have it present.
Okay. On that form, you were notified of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney, sir, or are you going to represent yourself?
I'm going to represent myself.
Right. I need to swear you and Mr. Westby in at this time. So do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so firm?
Yes, sir.
I do.
All right, your hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one will determine if the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. Then phase two, we will determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. So with phase one, what I'm going to do is read the allegations on your warrant, and after each one, I'm going to ask you if it's true or false. And if you say it's false, we'll get information from Mr. Westby and then have a discussion about it. Okay, you understand that, sir?
Yes, sir.
All right, you got three allegations on your warrant. Allegation number one is a violation of Arizona Condition Supervision number 12A, as demonstrated by your failure to obtain approval from your supervising officer before changing your residence or mailing address on or about September 22nd, 2017. Is that true or false, sir?
Yes. It is true.
Okay, thank you. All right, allegation number two on here is a violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 13E, as demonstrated by your failure to refrain from accessing any chat rooms, social networking websites, or websites that cater to sex offenders or sex offender behavior on or about November 3rd, 2017. Is that true or false, sir?
All the allegations that Mr. Boo has entitled of my warrant are true.
Okay, well, I have to read them as a formality, so.
Okay.
All right, then we're almost done anyway. All right, allegation number three is violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 12A, as demonstrated by your failure to abide by the rules and regulations of residents on or about November 8th, 2017. So is that true or false? True?
Yes, sir.
All right.
It is true.
All right, based on the admissions of Mr. Raimondo, I need to find that he was delinquent as he violated terms and conditions of his supervision and that he may have lapsed or about to lapse in criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed.
Agreed.
Nice.
What was that?
Oh, that everybody voted on whether or not you violated the terms and conditions of your supervision. Now, when we move into phase two, then we'll have a discussion. And you will be allowed to, you know, give your information, give your side of the story. All right?
Okay, yeah, because I took notes and I prepared a speech and have a notepad for notes.
Okay, well, you'll have an opportunity here in a minute. Before we actually start phase two, Mr. Westby is going to give us some information about your violations and your background.
Okay.
Mr. Westby.
On September 7th, 2017, Mr. Raimondo was released from DOC. He was arrested on November 8th, 2017 by the Department of Corrections Electronic Monitoring Unit for no new charges. On November 8th, 2017, he was back in DOC custody with a projected CICD of June 8th, 2019, 0 absconded days. His current conviction, 2008 theft, 1 year. Also in 2008, forgery, 2.5 years. In 2008, sexual conduct with a minor, 10 years. There's no prior convictions. This is his first term in DOC. CUIR score, 3.3. Mental health score, 3. Substance abuse score, 1. There's no gang information noted. No prior terms of supervision. His disciplinary is moderate with disorderly conduct and violence noted. Other arrest, 2006 assault, Arizona, not processed. His community risk score is a G1 V2. He is a level 3 sex offender, registerable, notifiable, SVP reviewable. The victim was a 13-year-old female. Dangerous crimes against children was cited in court docs.
Thank you, sir. One moment. All right, now I'm going to go over some background information that we included with your warrant. All right, you were released as approved for housing. Located at 28 South Olive Creek in Mesa. Then on September 22nd, you moved your residence to Coppelli, located at 758 North Troy Street in Mason, but you didn't have the prior approval of your patrol officer. Why did you move without his permission, sir?
On 9/22/17, Mr. Vu suggested alternative housing options. I moved to the Coppelli house without the direction. Basically, the Mesa house wasn't approved visitation group from Cook Unit as being approved for SOs. Once I was there, people that were living there at GP were actually general population, found out what I was in for, being a sex offender. While asking Mr. Vu for suggestions of other alternative places for sex offenders to live, my life was endangered, and it was to the point where either I leave, or either I end up dead, or coming back to prison for assault and battery.
Okay, so you were having problems because you found out you were a sex offender, and you were either afraid they were going to hurt you, or you knew they were going to. And so, because Coppelli was, did you just ask them, or was there an approval process going on when you moved?
It was a Friday morning. Long story short, my mother, which is not actually, they're not in the States right now, and if she was here, she'd be able to verify what I'm about to tell you. But first and foremost, Mr. Vu gave me a directive as a suggestion to look at the Coppelli house. It was Thursday morning when that took place. I explained to him that my life was endangered. He brought it up to the supervising staff prior to this. When this took place, the opportunity arose at the Coppelli house. My mother was willing to fork over the funds. During the conversation of Friday morning, I left probably about 12 messages or text messages to Mr. Vu. My mother also did the same. Between 8 and 12 messages, Vu never responded. The opportunity arose. I took the opportunity, even as he suggested. He didn't give me permission. But like I said, my life was endangered. There was no forwarding contact parole number, to contact and to give permission. The honest thing was in regards to it, on that Monday morning, Mr. Vu explained to me that, one, he doesn't work for me, which I was kind of boneheaded and argumentative, and two, he wasn't working that day. He had his own agenda. It was his day off, or he had other things going on. When we discussed it on Monday morning, and I was given my sanctions, which is actually in the case supervision summary, the warrant arrest under sanctions, it discusses that I was put on sanction for it. It was brought to my attention that he wasn't going to violate me on it, but it was an infraction or a minor violation. I should have asked for further instructions instead of taking the suggestion as a permission from Mr. Vu. And I would ask more questions for further instructions should I get the opportunity in the future from Mr. Vu.
Okay. So, Dad, yeah, apparently your PO was, he wasn't happy you didn't get permission, but he understood and just gave you a verbal reprimand instead of violating you, which is good.
Well, yeah, he explained to me that I want to ask you guys in regards to that, the parole board and yourself, any advice or suggestions you might give me on that situation is, Mr. Vu stated to me if I was able to, what I should have done was, I had a vehicle at the time in transportation, I should have showed up to the parole office and just waited for somebody.
Yeah, okay.
And I took that under advisement. I told him if it would ever happen again, I would do just that.
All right, so I seen that while you're out, you had an appointment with night sweepers.
And yes, sir.
You were working there until you were violated?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Apparently, you and your supervisor had discussions about that, and you thought you were going to get taken back into custody.
Yeah, I. Over this whole course of this, all these sanctions, prior to all this going on, Mr. Vu and I had a conversation. I had a really anxiety, my anger, and my paranoia levels were extremely high getting out after doing 9 years in prison and getting back into society. I was honestly all over the place, and I explained to Mr. Vu multiple times that I felt like I was walking on eggshells out there. Because my adjusting to society after doing 9 years and considering being institutionalized after 5, I really had a lot of these things that have stemmed my violations, not to defer, not to point fingers, because the only finger I have to point is at myself, but a lot of this stemmed from my mentality of not being on medication, mental health. I have a lot of mental health issues, and part of my notes I'll discuss further later. That stemmed a lot from what has taken place, this bad situation that I've put myself into.
Okay, I see that you were assigned a task for the Color of the Day program for random drug testing. It shows that you had 4 occasions to drop a UA, and that all of them were negative. So,
yes, sir.
You say you have some mental health problems. Do you have any drug problems that you were dealing with before you got arrested, or?
No, I've actually, since the age of 21, I've been completely clean and sober from all drugs and alcohol.
Well, that's very commendable. Did you go through programming to do that, or did you do that on your own?
For one, growing up, I had a mother that was an alcoholic, so I was around it. I went to AA and NA meetings. Prior, after, and some in prison, I went to AA and NA meetings. did some self-help study, took the 12 steps on my own in here, had a sponsor prior to prison, and then when I got out, I actually have a home group in Mesa, Arizona, that's an NA, it's called a R&B recovery in Mesa, Arizona. It's actually my home group.
Well, that's very commendable, sir. There's you see a lot of people, and a lot of them that are trying to get sobered up. They're trying really hard, but they're not successful at it. So it's very reassuring when we see somebody that's taken that initiative and doesn't relapse when they're out on release. And then, like I say, that long in prison, you were exposed to the opportunity in the way to have drugs, and you didn't, you chose to stay away from it. So it's all very commendable.
Thank you.
I'm not going to go through all of the sanctions and everything because you're quite well written and complete report, but there's a lot of things in there. But it does, it all indicates that you've got an attitude about having to be on tight reins. In other words, intensive supervision.
Yes, sir. I was before I came in. That was my last sanction. Even through the chaos that I created, and after I started getting on medication, and it was too late to get on the medication to show who that I could have changed and wanted to change, I got violated. I've been for the past 40 days in here, 45 or so. I have been on medication, and my anger, my paranoia, and my anxiety levels, it's all come down. I'm more clear-headed. Like I stated, I wrote up actually a two-page form to discuss with the parole board of my actions, wanting to take notes to have you guys help me. If you guys do reinstate me, I would actually, more into phase two, as you were saying, I'm clear-minded, and I'm willing to adhere and listen to your guys' directives and actually follow suit with it this time.
Okay.
I'm trying to be more sincere than I actually was when I first came out. Being ripped away for the 40 days, not to get into phase two of this immediately, because I know you want to do still phase one. Just briefly, the 40 days that I've actually been pulled away from society and everything that, as you guys see of me working and having a vehicle and not doing drugs, and even within the chaos that I created, I was still a functioning society member. I wasn't getting in trouble, didn't get new charges, didn't do new crimes, nothing of that case. Yes, the violations are what they are against me, and I take full responsibility for them. I am 31 years of age now. I've learned a lot. 40 days that I've been in here, being pulled away, like I said, from family support, the classes I was about to start, everything that I was about to do, it gave me a really reality check, and it's actually sunk in. And there's actually a quote that I actually wanted to speak to you guys in regards to that. Mr. Vu actually gave me a quote that I never understood until finally I came back to prison and ripped everything away. That it now sunk in, and I've actually figured out what it meant.
Okay. We'll give you an opportunity to speak to us. Is there anything else that you want to give us at the time? It appears that they took your phone away from you because you were using it to, being on several different sites in order to date women, and you failed to tell them that you had a backup phone, and it says in here a backup phone and a mama phone. Let's see. And you didn't register your phone through MCSO under the sex offender issues. But the main problem that the PO was addressing were the social networking issues on your phone, and then basically the moving everything, it was an attitude that you were showing all the way through, all the way through the end there. And you say you were not on any drugs for your mental health at that time?
No.
Okay, but now, since you've been back in, you've been evaluated and they're medicating you for it?
Basically, a week before I got arrested out there, Mr. Vu had me go to get a psych evaluation placed on medication, and I'm actually on, I'm not on the exact same meds that I was when I was out there, because they're not allowed in the prison system.
Right.
But I am on, I'm on a subsidiary type of that medication still to this day.
Okay. I don't see if my fellow board members have any questions for you at this time. Ms. Rittenhouse?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Neal. Mr. Raimondo, it looks like you had your cell phone taken away because you were on some dating websites and such, but you just got another phone, but did not tell your parole officer that you had the other phone. Can you explain that?
I had an Obama phone that I actually, the only reason I got the Obama phone, and I actually explained this to Vu, was when I was at the Mesa house, there was an individual there that didn't have a phone. So I went to DES and got an Obama phone, gave it to him to use, and now that doesn't, I have no excuse for it. I should have reported it, and I didn't. Again, I was paranoid, stuck in my own mind without medication. It's really no excuses to it. That second phone, I didn't report it because I wasn't using it for social media. I only used the one phone for the social media use. And that was my iPhone. The Obama phone was actually, when that was checked and whatnot, there was nothing in the history of me using that phone for the purpose of social media use. I didn't record it. I didn't send it to MCSO because at the time when I went to go register my phone, I didn't have the Obama phone on my person.
So Mr. Raimondo, why did you get a phone for someone else to use?
Generosity, I guess.
You didn't think how that would possibly impact your supervision?
At the time, with me up in my mind, negative.
All right, thank you, Mr. Raimondo. Thank you, Mr. Neal.
Any other questions?
All right, Mr. Raimondo, we're coming to the close of your hearing. The board will go into discussion and determine whether to revoke your supervision or whether to reinstate it. But before we do that, I'd like to give you an opportunity to tell us anything you would like. We just ask that you don't repeat yourself.
Okay. Will do. I know... on that last comment, the social media is probably the hugest thing in the parole board's mind right now of conflicting of revoking me or giving me an opportunity. First and foremost, as I already discussed about the Cocopelli House in Mesa, on 11-3 of 17, I violated Mr. Vu's directive to refrain from using social media sites. Instead of being a know-it-all and thinking in an unyielding and selfish manner, I should have done more investigation and thought about the possible future consequences of my actions as discussed. If given the second opportunity, as much as that's a long shot in polling, I would refrain from using social media at all instead of playing with the fire, so to speak. There are other avenues I can pursue to meet other people should I be given that opportunity. The last one was in regards to the house regulations. I was asked by the house manager at the Cocopelli House for information regarding my scheduled car and job. I got angry as I had to given this information to a prior house manager and felt the manager should have had this information already. What I should have done was, rather than getting angry and reacting negatively, I should have inquired as to why the information was being requested again and provided the information anyway. In the future, I would just provide the information, follow the procedures, and communicate in a constructive manner if given the opportunity again. In short, just to let me say that I no longer look at Mr. Vu as the enemy, and only too late did I realize he was only trying to help me. He gave me suggestions and guidance, and I failed to actively listen, and I regret not being more positive in my interactions, both with Mr. Vu and the housing staff. I do not expect the board to reinstate me, but in the unlikely event that it does, I would like to be reinstated to Mr. Vu if that is available. The positives of this situation, the negative situation that I put myself into, I was directed to and sought mental health treatment for my anger, anxiety, and paranoia. I don't do drugs or drink or alcohol. It was negative. I have family support. I have a vehicle, transportation. I have my driver's license, multiple avenues for employment, willing to better myself through classes and education, was given sanctions for using the social media, and I followed them. Self-reported the use of social media. I actually self-reported that because I was actually in the wrong. Self-surrendered in a timely fashion and as directed. This experience has impressed upon me the gravity of the situation and what all I stood or stand to lose. Mr. Vu told me the worst day in prison is better than the best day or... Sorry, Mr. Vu told me the worst day out there was better than the best day in prison, and only now that has sunk in, and I truly regret not giving Mr. Vu's communications and thoughts and attention that was due. I have family support. My mother, father, and granddad are willing to help. Employment, I have a few companies, Trendwood, Amazon, Steel Night Sweeps, and a company called Murpro. The transportation I drive is 2003 Nissan Altima. The self-help is the classes on interpersonal skills I'm willing to take. Anger management, I'm planning on going to AAI, which is Technical Automotive Institute in Glendale, and also other classes as directed. I eventually want to go to AAI as a career move to, and I want to stay busy, but I don't want to take on so much that I get overstressed and mess everything up again. Anger management class, SOETP class, and interpersonal skill improvement classes are my top priority if given the second opportunity. Also, I'm almost done. I believe there is a benefit to everything, even if we perceive it as bad as in this situation. I have learned a great deal from this experience. I don't have to fight with everyone out there like I did in here to accomplish my goals. I need to stop thinking of my position on an issue and think about the consequences and actively listen to others before making a decision. I need some classes on interpersonal skills. I believe that would help me with my anger and communication with the parole department. I need to think before I act, not after the fact. I need to ask a lot more questions so I fully understand what I need to do before I actually do it. And really quick, does the board, not only yourself, does the board have any suggestions and or advice that I might benefit from? I would really greatly appreciate it. I actually brought a notepad so I could take notes if necessary.
Okay, thank you.
And thank you for hearing me.
And the board is going to go into discussion now to make a determination whether to revoke the supervision or to reinstate it, sir. We'll be talking amongst ourselves. You'll be able to hear us, and you're very welcome to listen in. but we ask that you remain silent because we'll be addressing each other and not you specifically.
Yes, sir.
Okay, the board is now in discussion.
Just want to have a hand off for the discussion.
This is really interesting. Mr. Raimondo sounds very, very motivated at this point in time, and one of the things that I noticed when he was out and having his problems, he'd get angry and stuff, but he wasn't lashing out physically. But he also has some mental health issues that he was not getting treatment for. And now that he's been back in, just before he got arrested, he got into the mental health treatment and was put on some drugs to help him, which seemed to be doing a good job. He just had too many violations that, got Mr. Vutu violating and having to reincarcerate. But he's continuing with his mental health treatment inside. He seems very motivated not to commit those violations again. Changing residents is, the PO, although it's one of those things that it appears that the PO wasn't at the time overly concerned with it, other than he wasn't obeying the rules because he just gave him a verbal reprimand. And we see a lot of people violated for the same issue. So it means the PO was trying to help him. The social networking sites and the issue with the cell phone are very disturbing because of the conviction that Mr. Raimondo was originally incarcerated for. The second phone, I don't know, that's not a very good thing. It's hard, I guess if you did really loan it to somebody else, that's a sign of generosity, but it's also a sign that you don't pay a lot of attention to the rules. But I'm wondering if, under the same circumstances, now that you're getting mental health treatment, that you would do the same thing. I don't know. And you definitely need some anger management programming. And I'm not because of the holidays. I am inclined to move to put Mr. Raimondo back out under supervision with a few extra conditions. But one of the big ones that he remained on the mental health treatment, which seems to have helped him quite a bit. But I'm willing to listen to comments from the board members. I automatically have to say Ms. Rittenhouse.
Yes, sir. I have some concerns, and one of them is, or really they kind of are around a theme that Mr. Raimondo seems to think that the rules don't apply to him as concerns his supervision. For example, there's a statement here in this warrant that says he believes the social networking website restrictions that are given to sex offenders didn't apply to him. And regarding curfew, he isn't complying with his curfew conditions, and he said to his parole officer, "You're lucky I came back at 12 a.m., indicating that he had plans to stay out later. He seems to be aware of conditions. This is out of this warrant. Aware of his conditions and stipulations. However, he continues to believe they can be altered for his convenience. He also moved without prior approval, although he did explain. I'm seeing Mr. Raimondo as not a good candidate, including the other thing I didn't mention is the social media sites. So I would not be in favor of returning him to community supervision, Mr. Neal. Thank you.
Mr. Kinnones.
Yes, I'll keep it short because I think Ms. Rittenhouse covered quite a bit of the information. My concern is just his blatant disregard for the conditions of supervision, and I am usually very sensitive about the amount of time an individual has left on the clock sentence and trying to maximize that in the interest of rehabilitation, but I'm just not finding them suitable for community supervision.
Any comments?
Thank you for that. On those issues, the disagreement with everything, the way I understood the information was he was having all these problems, but he wasn't getting any mental health treatment. And then once he started with mental health treatment, he appears to have framed up. But I understand exactly what you're talking about. It is kind of a, you know, kind of a hard decision here. I'm gonna move to revoke Mr. Raimondo's supervision, and hopefully he would spend the remainder of his time trying to get some of the classes while he's incarcerated instead of when he gets out.
Second.
Agree.
So I move to revoke committee supervision of Mr. Raimondo and find that he was delinquent, violated terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse in criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agree.
All right, Mr. Raimondo, the board has voted to revoke your community supervision. You have a lot of positives overall, but you also have a lot of negatives. Fortunately, they want drugs and they want violence. But some of what you need before you get back out on your own after your sentence is up to help you move on is some programming with anger management, and probably some, you know, more mental health work. You should be able to get some anger management while you're still incarcerated, but we would encourage you to get as much programming as you can before you get out in June, and then also make a plan as to how you're going to conduct your reentry. You've been out there a while, so some of the shock of being released is not going to happen when you're finally done. But June 8th of, I thought that was 2018, so it's a year and a half. You should have considerable amount of time to do programming in there, and you need to really learn to follow the rules, because even the mental health treatment isn't going to always keep you from doing that. You need to do some more programming and get things a little more solid. So this will be the end of your hearing, and no more questions, no more discussion. We wish you the best of luck, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, could you put the CO3 back on the phone?
I'm right here, gentlemen.